Dann Ayurveda, Spiritual Archery, the Vedic Science of Transformation. My name is Joachim Nusch. The Vedas are considered to be the oldest written recordings that describe, often in metaphors, ancient principles, practices, and spirituality. The word Veda means knowledge or truth. There are four major texts in the Vedic literature. First, the Rig Veda, the book of the mantra. Second, the Sama Veda, the book of song. Third, the Jajur Veda, the book of ritual. And fourth, the Atharva Veda, the book of transformation. Additionally, there are Upavedas, which are basically applied science and supportive knowledge of these four texts. Ayurveda is an Uparveda of both Artha Veda and Rig Veda. Dhanurveda, the topic of this talk, is an Upaveda, a branch of the Jajurveda. Dhanur literally means bow, making the word Dhanurveda literally mean bow knowledge or the knowledge of the bow. You may have heard of the yoga pose or asana, Dhanurasana or bow pose. Dhanurveda is considered the Vedic science of transformation. In more recent times, Dhanurveda has been mostly discussed as the Vedic science of war, detailing battle strategies, fighting methods, and strategies to overcome an enemy. I understand today the Dhanurveda as a strategy for peace. As all Vedic sciences are primarily teachings for the development of full human physical, mental and spiritual potential, full empowerment, it would be a mistake to relegate Dhanurveda as a science of only weaponry, war and battle strategies. It's a strategy to develop higher states of mental states or consciousness. The Vedic warriors who were masters of Dhanurveda, such as Ram, Lakshman, Arjuna, Krishna or other Vedic heroes, represented beings that have achieved their full spiritual potential, achieved superior physical abilities, and fearless through mental and emotional freedom. A true warrior with full knowledge of Dhanurveda was considered invincible. They would be fully alert while in deep rest, completely calm and fully aware in the field of battle, all while fighting only for the highest purpose with no attachment to the outcome. They were established in being while they performed action. They were invincible on the battlefield. During my studies in Switzerland, in the United States and in India back in the 17th and the 80s, I learned to understand Dhanurveda as part of the Vedic sciences. The Veda of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual transformation. For that, I integrate the Dhanurveda in my mental training and mental coaching as an attempt to bring these principles into the world of sports performance. Soul, mind, body, and sport, which includes research that were conducted proving the principles of Dhanurveda and of Ayurveda. The earlier Buddhist monk Bodhidharma, who brought the original martial arts to the East, brought the teachings to India before he made his way to China. In India, he introduced the understanding of marma, the vital points on the body that were said to bring certain death. This was the precursor to marma therapy in India and acupuncture in China. Today, many of these martial techniques are being reviewed as part of the study of Dhanurveda. What means Vedic archery? No study of Dhanurveda would be complete without the study of the bow or archery. Shooting an arrow is a powerful metaphor for the transformation we all long to experience. Perhaps the best premise of Dhanurvedic principle is found in the Bhagavad Gita, an old Indian book, in chapter 2, verses 42 to 48. In these verses, Krishna, who represented the highest ideals, and Arjuna, was the great archer, were driven their chariot into battle to fight their deceitful cousins, who had taken control over the kingdom through trickery. Arjuna took pause as he was suddenly conflicted about killing his cousins. He knew that if his cousins became ruler, the people would suffer for generations. He had to stop them for the greater good. But to do so, he was being asked to go into battle and kill his family, the cousins he grew up playing with. Conflicted, Arjuna asked Krishna for advice. Krishna simply said, "Yogasta Guru Karmani." This is a Sanskrit saying, which means, first establish being in yourself and then, and only then, perform action. What this meant was that before we take any action, it cannot be from the mind in the world of right and wrong emotional judgment. We must act from the place of being deep silence and knowing, where there is no this or that, no should or shouldn't. Once he was able to remove his mind and emotions and establish himself in being, he was able to act and perform the action without attachment. His action ultimately brought balance back to the kingdom. What is the role of the bow? The bow, from the perspective of Dhanurveda, offers us a great tool to experience the being or silence that precedes truth or transformational action. The bow became the source and course of mastering Dhanurveda. The power of the bow spread throughout Asia as martial arts such as Japanese kudo. When you fully draw a bow back in an attempt to shoot an arrow, you must bring that bow and the arrow back fully. You must hold and establish that arrow and bowstring into a state of absolute stillness and silence. The slightest movement of the bowstring will create an exponentially distorted flight of the arrow. To create a profoundly transformational shot, you must establish yourself, the bowstring and arrow, in being, silence or total stillness, and then, only then, shoot the arrow to perform the action. Exactly this we learn during transcendental meditation when we bring our mind back to the deepest silence state, to the state of full alertness, absolute stillness and silence. So this is the metaphor we understand thinking and using the arrow and the bowstring. Pulling back the bow fully is the metaphor for pulling the mind back into a total state of non-thinking, as if you were in a meditative state while fully engaged in the world of action. Holding the bowstring and arrow in a state of stillness requires mastery of the mind to avert distraction from the outside world, the target, or, as the Gita put it, the fruits of his actions. That is why we are trained to meditate in the morning and the evening, before action in the morning and at the end of the day in the evening, to establish this state of stillness and being. In the verses of the Gita mentioned above, Krishna also commanded Arjuna to not be attached to the fruit of his action. He must be completely still, astutely aware and steeped in the process of the actions. The minute we let the mind wander, be distracted, or think about the outcome, the mind instantly attaches itself to the fruits of that action. The mind will seek the reward, the satisfaction of hitting the target, the return of investment, to become addicted to the fruits of one's actions. Soon, the mind seeks a dopamine-rich reward chemistry to be the result of all action. In time, all action is based on an expectation of some reward, return on investment, or fruits. The ability to function and shoot or act from that place of being is lost, and every action becomes a manipulation of the environment to deliver a reward. Once established in being, with the bow or with the mind fully pulled back, the release of the bowstring sends the arrow into a transformational flight. The arrow, the thought, the action released from this state of mindlessness is free of attachment. It is free of judgment. It flies without concern of what people think. It requires no approval or attention from others. When it hits the target, it penetrates at the deepest possible level. It is transformational. Hedonistic versus eudaimonistic giving. This concept has been recently tested in a study that measured two different types of giving. First, giving with the hope or desire that the gift was appreciated, with this called hedonistic giving. Second, giving a gift with no concern of whether or not they appreciated the gift, which is called eudaimonistic giving. We know this system and this concept from older Greek philosophy. The hedonistic giving was a nice gesture, but only the eudaimonistic giving, where there was no attachment to the fruit of the gift, actually altered the genetic code of the gift receiver. The hedonistic giving made no such change. At the most subtle level, we can feel when an action is coming from the truth or from a need to be appreciated. Think about your own position in life. Do you give to get? Are you more an hedonistic type or more a eudaimonistic type of giving? The battle that was described in the Bhagavad Gita, called the Great Battle or Mahabharata, also explained in the Ramayana, was also a metaphor for what takes place in our minds on a daily basis. Many of us are deeply affected by what other people think, driven by accomplishments, and overwhelmed with a mind of incessant thinking. The bow is used in Dhanurveda to teach us how to use the two major life principles that define all of the other Vedic sciences: to act from within without a care from without. To act from within without a care from without. Change begins within. Yogastha Kuru Karmani. Established in being, perform action.